Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, your word feeds your people with life that is eternal. Direct our choices and preserve us in your truth, that renouncing what is false and evil, we may live in you. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Joshua. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sights. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 34 responsively. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and God's ears are open to their cry.
The
righteous cry, and the Lord hears them and delivers them from all their troubles.
The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those whose spirits are crushed.
Many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from every one.
God
will bring death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. O Lord, you redeem the life of your servants, and those who put their trust in you will not be punished. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A second reading from Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in the power and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every power and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them.
just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew that from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one who would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
So here we are in week 5 of the Bread of Life readings. I will admit that although I love bread, I have been tempted these past couple weeks to maybe abandon the text. But here we are at the end of this series, and I'm glad that I didn't give in to that temptation to turn aside. We've been on this journey of John chapter 6 together. We've stood with the disciples and wondered where we could get enough bread to feed all of these people. We have sailed across the lake and had our fears quenched and our hearts filled with the true bread from heaven. We've been urged, really admonished, to eat and drink the bread of life that is eternal life. We've heard about it for weeks. Well, actually, we've heard about it all of our Christian lives. And we've been hearing about it. But now, today, we get an invitation to respond to it. It's sort of like a revival altar call. I didn't grow up with altar calls. That seemed like that public display of religion was just for the televangelists or maybe those big revival meetings, but not for ordinary Christians. But here we are, ordinary Christians receiving today an invitation from Jesus to make it public. All the readings today call for a difficult decision. The people of Joshua's tribe had to decide whether they were going to worship this God or that God. The God of their ancestors, who put great demands on them, or a new God whose devotees seemed to be enjoying great prosperity. And then the letter to the Ephesians takes on a kind of a militaristic tone and urges us to cling to the Word of God as our armor and our banner. And then Jesus, who obviously never read one page of a church growth manual. He never turned to the mega church to look for bright ideas on how to draw in and how to attract seekers and the unchurched. All of this eat of me talk and follow me to the cross kind of attitude of Jesus was really not working. When we started this chapter 6, 5 weeks ago, there was a big crowd. at the beginning of the chapter, the crowd is so big that the disciples are worried. Where would we get enough money to buy food to feed all of these people? And here we are at the end of the chapter, and Jesus has no multitude, only 12. And in that 12 is one who is lying in wait to betray him, to give him up. If Jesus had advisors, like all of our presidential hopefuls do, they would have been doing some major damage control and developing some kind of strategies to shore up their support system after Jesus obviously misspoke with those "eat of me" statements. But instead of backtracking, Jesus issues an altar call. Kind of a negative one, but nonetheless, it's definitely a call for a response. Do you also wish to go away? But Jesus is asking much more than a question about walking away. Jesus is issuing a call to make a commitment. We regularly make commitments of faith. We make public promises. We do that when we recite the creed every Sunday. We do that as we witness baptisms or confirmations. We do that when we extend our hands to receive the body and blood of Jesus from the altar. Those are our public professions of faith, our public confirmations of our belief. But what about in the quiet of your heart? Jesus asks you, do you also wish to go away? How are you answering that call in your own life? If we're honest, we will admit that even as we make those public professions of faith, even as we hear that invitation to eat the bread of life, sometimes we do wish to go away. I know too many people who are burnt out, who get cynical in their attitude, who let their devotional life become rote or non-existent, who let the habit of missing Sunday worship become the norm rather than the exception. You may have heard about or maybe even participated in a Gallup poll or a Pew Research program where they ask about church attendance and about connection with organized religion. In the 50s, when they would have these Gallup polls and they would ask people, did you go to church on Sunday? More people reported going to church on last Sunday than the churches reported having people there. So we thought of ourselves as much more church-going than we actually were in the 50s. Now when they ask that question, there is a whole group of people who check the box that says none. What is your religion? What is your preferred denomination? None. But there's just in the last maybe 4 years or 5 years, there's a new category that is called the duns. The people who in earlier years had been very active in their churches, maybe participated on a very regular basis, but now are just done with church. No longer interested in attending Sunday worship or practicing any devotional or prayer life. Maybe they're still believers, maybe they never were, maybe they're not believers now, but they are done. Listen again to how Peter responded to that survey question, that altar call from Jesus. He answered, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now, Peter didn't always get the answers right, but he certainly did hear. He knew how to answer Jesus' question for himself and for the rest of the disciples. The right answer was to look to Jesus and to keep their eyes locked on him. You and I, the precious children of God, of that awesome, loving God, are given the necessary armor. We are given the nourishing food and drink to meet the onslaught of daily life. As we break open the word, as we break open the bread and share the cup of eternal life, we are also given the right answers. We give the right answers as we do that, and we keep walking with Jesus. Of course, God is present everywhere, on the golf course, in the ocean, on the ocean. We know God is present there. God is present in everyone, but it is here, in the broken word, in the water poured, in the bread and wine shared and eaten, in the community of faith gathered. It is here that we are called to see God. Nearly 500 years ago, Martin Luther wrote these words, and I think they're still apt today. He wrote, "Although God is present in all creatures, and I might find him in stone, in fire, in water, or even in a rope, for he is certainly there, yet God does not wish that I seek him there, apart from the word, and thereby cast myself into the fire, or on the water, or hang myself on the rope. God is present everywhere, but does not wish that you grope for him everywhere. Grope rather where the word is, and there you will lay hold of God in the right way." Isn't that a great phrase? Grope for the word. And that's what we're called to do, week after week, day after day, to grope for the word. So hear and receive the life-giving word that is Jesus Christ. Hear and receive the promise that Jesus makes to you, a precious child of God. No matter where you are on your faith walk, whether you are a done or a nun, whether your life is giving you kudos or migraines, hear and receive this invitation. Hear and receive this word of eternal life that Jesus has for you. "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." And along with Peter, we can proclaim, "Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life." Amen.